But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
We welcome you today to the Living Waters Broadcast. We thank you for having tuned our way. During the Second World War, there was an aircraft carrier in the Pacific that was spotted one day by a Japanese submarine. On board were several thousand sailors. The Japanese hit the aircraft carrier with a torpedo, which caused a terrible explosion and eventually sunk the ship. In the initial explosion, hundreds of sailors were killed. Hundreds of others were killed when the boat sank. Others were killed by sharks and the elements, a lack of food, lack of water. However, a few were rescued. 50 years after the explosion, one of the sailors was interviewed on TV. As he told his story, he cried. He told of the explosion and how he spent 3 days in the water. He had no food, no water. The sun was terribly hot each day. And the place he was in was a place infested with sharks, and he was haunted by the thoughts of being eaten by the sharks. By the afternoon of the third day, he had given up all hope of being rescued, and he had thought that he would die there in the water, eaten by the sharks. Late on the afternoon of the third day, he heard a noise, and he saw something in the air. It was a little Navy plane that was searching for survivors. He said that it was the prettiest thing he had ever seen. He said that he had never seen anything more beautiful than that little plane. And as he said that, he cried. Why did he say that? Had he never seen anything more beautiful than the plane, such as a beautiful sunset, beautiful flowers, a beautiful girl, or a beautiful mountain range? Of course, he had seen all these things. And he had also seen many of those planes before that day. We know why he said that he had never seen anything more beautiful than that plane. It meant salvation to him. It meant life instead of death. It meant being found instead of being lost. At that moment, that plane meant everything to him. And 50 years later, it made him cry because he was so thankful. My friend, what does Jesus mean to you? When Isaiah wrote of him, he said that his name should be called Wonderful. His name is wonderful because he is wonderful, and what he has done is wonderful. The angel told Joseph to name him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. His name also was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. My friend, is he wonderful to you? Is the name of Jesus precious to you? One man wrote the following, expressing how precious Jesus was to him. Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given. It scatters all their guilty fear. It turns their hell to heaven. The man who wrote it knew that he was a guilty sinner. He was conscious of guilty fear, and it was a name that had turned his hell to heaven. And then he says, the name to sinners given. Is it dear to you, my friend? Do you realize that you are a guilty sinner? Do you see yourself in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Do you see yourself in Romans 6:23, when it says that the wages of sin is death, eternal death in hell? Do you see yourself in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God? Do you see yourself in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way? Do you realize that you are not good? Jesus in Mark 10:18 says, there no one is good except God alone. Do you realize the truth about yourself from Isaiah 64:6? All of us have become like something unclean. And all our righteous acts are like a polluted garment. All of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities carry us away like the wind. Many years ago, there was a preacher in Canada that from time to time traveled in a certain area. When he traveled in that area, he would stay in a certain hotel that was owned and run by a Christian lady. After breakfast each morning, she would ask the preacher to have a little devotion of 10 minutes or so for the guest in the hotel and everyone who was interested in listening. There was a very simple Indian lady that worked there. One day the preacher talked with her and he asked her to pray a simple prayer using her fingers. The prayer was, "Lord, show me myself." With each word, he used one of his fingers so he could remember the prayer using each finger. He told her to pray that every day, and she said that she would. Several weeks later, he passed by the hotel again, and he saw the Indian lady there. She seemed so sad and at times crying. The preacher asked the owner about her, and she responded by saying that she was going to have to fire her because she was so sad and crying, and she couldn't have that there. The preacher told her to wait about firing her because he wanted to talk to her. When he talked with her the second time, he told her to pray another prayer using her fingers again. The prayer was, "Lord, show me now yourself." She said that she would. A month or so later, the preacher passed by the hotel again, and he asked the owner about the Indian lady. She said she was full of joy and doing a good job. When the preacher talked with the Indian lady, she told him that when she had prayed for the Lord to show her herself, she began to see the blackness and sinfulness of her own heart, and that made her cry as she knew she was going to hell. When she later prayed the second prayer, she began to understand what Jesus did for her on the cross, and that through him she had found forgiveness and salvation, and now he was so precious to her. My friend, have you seen the blackness and dirtiness of your own heart? Do you realize that you deserve to go to hell because of your sin? To the Indian woman, his name was Wonderful and Precious. To her, Jesus was the name high over all. She could understand what the hymn writer meant when he wrote, "Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given. It scatters all their guilty fear. It turns their hell to heaven." My friend, can you say the same? Has it scattered all your guilty fear? Has it turned your hell to heaven? Years ago, there were two small boys who were neighbors in a northern state in the United States. Normally, in the fall of the year, it would start to get cold. One afternoon in late fall, it was unusually warm. After school, they were playing, only wearing a shirt. Little by little, they got deeper and deeper in the woods behind their houses. The sun began to go down, and they realized they were lost with no light, and they couldn't see. The temperature began to drop. The wind picked up. A storm came, and it began to snow. The smallest boy was 6, and he began to cry, telling the oldest boy, Johnny, who was 8, that he was cold. Johnny took off his shirt and put it on the little boy. He got some leaves and put them on him, and then Johnny lay down beside him to try to warm him and to break the wind. The little boy fell asleep, and the next morning when he woke up, he saw that Johnny was dead. The police formed a rescue team, and they found the little boy and Johnny, who was dead. The little boy explained what had happened and how Johnny had saved his life. From then on, when the little boy met someone, he would tell them, "Let me tell you about my friend Johnny." Why did he want to tell everyone about Johnny? I think we know why. Why do some people want to tell others about Jesus? I think we know why. They have seen themselves lost, guilty, and on their way to hell with no hope. They have seen that Jesus went to the cross with their sins for their salvation. And they say, a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. My friend, have you ever seen yourself lost and guilty before a holy and just God? Have you ever seen that you are headed to hell because you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? My friend, in the bottom of your heart, you know that you have fallen short. You know that you have broken God's law, that you are a rebel at heart, and you have gone your own way, as Isaiah 53:6 says. My friend, now is the day to turn back to God, to repent of your sins and ask Him for forgiveness, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's time to receive His forgiveness and let Him take control of your life. Come to Him today, my friend. Bow the knee before Him today. Ask Him for forgiveness today. Give Him your heart and life and live the rest of your life for Him in thankfulness for His goodness and His kindness and His mercy to you. You see, we know why the little boy wanted to tell others about his friend Johnny. He saw himself there that night in the condition facing death when Johnny took off his shirt, when Johnny piled leaves up over his body, when Johnny laid down beside him to cut the wind and to try to warm his body. He realized that Johnny had given his life to save him, and for that reason he was so thankful. My friend, multiply that by thousands of times. Our condition was much worse. We were lost on a way to hell, and Jesus came to a cross to assume and take our punishment. He came to a cross to be our substitute. He came to a cross to take the judgment of God that He did not deserve, that we deserved. He came there in innocence to die for the guilty, that we, the guilty, might be forgiven, and we, the guilty, might be justified before God. Oh, my friend, what a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. It's time to turn back to Him. It's time to ask Him for forgiveness. It's time to repent and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting Him as your Lord and as your Savior, and therefore to go after receiving His forgiveness and live your life living for Him in thankfulness and praise and telling others of what He has done for you because His name is wonderful. My time is gone. I thank you for having tuned our way. Tune in again this time next week. Thank you.
This has been the Living Waters broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at spiv6327@bellsouth.net. That's spiv6327@bellsouth.net.